Welcome back. I'm Mark Bayshore. A Lansing mother is marking a sad anniversary today. 4 years ago, Dominique Artister was gunned down in the driveway of his South Lansing home. His murder remains unsolved. Artister's mother, Monica Blackwell, wants answers. She has her suspicions about who is responsible for her son's death on May 25, 2012. But with little information to go on, the Dominique Artister case has grown cold. More than 60 homicides have gone unsolved in Lansing since the mid-1960s. The reasons are complex and difficult to pinpoint, but what's clear is that each act of violence that ends a life carries a lifetime of pain for the victim's loved ones left behind. Current State's Kevin Lavery has more.
Monica Blackwell's eyes soften a bit when she talks about her oldest son, Dominique Artister. She uses words like amazing, unique, and a protector. Blackwell says if you were lucky enough to find a place in Dominique's heart, you knew it.
He had tons and tons of energy from the time he was born till when he left here. He was just a special person. His smile would just brighten up a room.
Blackwell recalls a funny yet proud moment from Dominique's early life, something that reveals a flicker of his character.
He was in kindergarten, and he felt like he was too old for mom to walk him to the bus stop. So he was like, you don't have to walk. It was just up the street. You don't have to walk with me, and you don't have to come and meet me. So I would stand and watch out the window and make sure that he made it. And one day he was like, see, I'm okay. That made me proud. And I knew then that he would be able to protect himself or whatever. You know, he was just independent like that.
In May 2012, Dominique Artister was a 29-year-old father of three. By then, he had already had two close brushes with death. The first time was that February, when he was shot in the foot at a convenience store. Then in May, Dominique was fired upon at a South Lansing gas station. A week later, he had one last late-night talk with his mother.
I had spoke with him about 11:45 that night. He stopped by. And then he said he was going to meet somebody. I can't really remember. That was the last time I spoke with him, and he told me he'll see me tomorrow and that he was ready to cook his own Memorial Day dinner for the first time. And I told him, okay, be safe. And then that call came, and it was his girlfriend, just the scream. I knew that it was bad. She couldn't give me any details because I think she was too distraught. I had no clue then where he was shot at, what part of his body. I just knew that she said he wasn't responding and there was a lot of blood.
Monica Blackwell knows the what, and she even believes she knows who. But 4 years after his death, Dominique Artister's case remains unsolved. And ever since, his mother has struggled with the biggest question of all.
Why is what I ask all the time? Unfortunately, I haven't been able to ask those that are responsible, because I know in my heart it's a group of people. Of course, all of them can't pull a trigger at once, but I would love to know why. I would really love to know why.
Monica isn't alone in her search for resolution. Lansing has some 65 unsolved homicides in its files dating back to the 1960s. Rena Risper is a journalist, community activist, and founder of the New Citizens Press Community Action Network. She advocates for people like Monica Blackwell, whose heartaches stay long after the headlines fade.
You know, in the media, it's always, if it bleeds, it reads. On the other side of that, someone is still bleeding. Someone is still crying every single day. When we talk about closure, the children don't have closure. The parents don't have closure. Closure is just kind of a word. And it closes and it opens. It closes and it opens. It opens every time a birthday comes, a wedding, a birth of another child in the family. So it's about being there for people.
Risper says the world of a murder victim's family revolves around the investigation. They depend on law enforcement to find answers. And that takes time, especially if the trail goes cold. Detective Lee McAllister leads the Lansing Police Department's cold case units.
I think unit is a little bit broad because it's just me. So, you know, it's a cold case office, I guess.
The key to an investigation's success, says McAllister, is cooperation. Police rely on families and witnesses, if there are any, to be willing to help.
If we don't get that cooperation, then obviously it makes our job a lot harder.
How do you try initially to gain that trust, to build that type of trust? Are there just certain people for whom trust of authority is just difficult inherently?
Absolutely. There are people that no matter what we do or say, will not. They're not going to trust us. They're not going to talk with us, just because that's that may be the way they were raised. That may be the way they've come to think over dealings with law enforcement in the past. And, you know, I'm not going to change that in a half hour to an hour interview or something to that effect. The officers that I work with, the detectives that I work with, we take our street credentials very seriously. If we make someone a promise, we keep that promise so that we have a reputation on the streets of Lansing of, hey, you know, I've dealt with Detective McAllister in the past. He treated me fairly. And, hopefully we'll get the response where they're going to help me or help another officer who they've gained trust from. Because without that reputation, you're going to be dead in the water, because without the assistance from the community, a lot of these cases won't have anywhere to go.
We're talking with Officer Lee McAllister, who's a detective with the Lansing Police Department. When a case does sit on a shelf for various reasons, and it's there a long time, years sometimes, what do you have to do as a police officer to keep it a priority?
The first thing we do with any case that's been on the shelf for a while is look through the case. Who were the people that we had names of at that time? Track them down and see if something new has come to light to them, or if their opinions of what happened have changed. And that's always the first place to start.
McAllister says as time passes, family members sometimes pick up tidbits of information about their loved one's murder. Not all of it is reliable. Monica Blackwell has heard the rumors about Dominique's death.
I hear that it was a a hit, that people were paid to do it. I've heard that it was because they were jealous, which my son had nothing. He wasn't even employed at the time. He was collecting unemployment. And I don't know what they would be jealous of. I've heard that it was multiple people in the vehicle that the neighbor saw. Basically, I just heard that it was just, they just wanted him out of the way because they felt like he might cause them a problem, because they kept going for people in the family. My son, Dominique, didn't hang around these people. When he tried to intervene, that's when I think he got drawn in. He tried to tell them to let it go. Everybody agreed, but obviously he's not here, so they didn't let it go. Those are the kind of things that I hear. The same names from day one popped up, the same ones. It has not changed. So that's why I say it's a group of people.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, some of the names I am very familiar with, people that have been at my house.
Again, Lansing Detective Lee McAllister.
You know, it's one thing for us to hear something and, you know, and know something. You know, I may know who committed a homicide, but that's not good enough. In our country, obviously, we have to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt in the court. And to do that, we have to have people come forward and tell their story. And it's got to be their story. We can't hear it third hand from the lady down the street.
Blackwell says she's not satisfied with the investigation into her son's death, which is actually being led by another Lansing police officer. She wants to see more pressure put upon those whom the police may identify as potential suspects.
I personally think that even though the community is not like running to the police and saying, hey, so-and-so was here and so-and-so said that, I still think that some of the information that is relayed to them, whether it came third party or not, the police should lean on those suspects or potential suspects and let them know, we're watching you. I think if they know that they're being watched and not getting away with murder, then I think they'll slip up in other things, you know, something else will come up, or maybe they'll start talking and then they can move forward. It's hard living in Lansing, knowing these people are there and knowing they're not being arrested. They're just walking around freely, enjoying life.
The longer a case stays cold, the more the victim's family craves communication. But for the police, even the process of checking in can be delicate. Again, Lansing Detective Lee McAllister.
I generally leave that up to the family. When I make my first contact, they have my phone number, they have my email address, and I encourage them to call me at any time or send me a message, and I will respond as quickly as I can. There are a few cases where I've went out to visit at their request. I'm cautious of calling and just, you know, checking in or chatting because, you know, some people I don't want to, you know, rip open a wound that maybe has kind of been smoothed over with time. And I mean, it never really gets closed until, you know, their loved one has some justice. But I'm cautious of, you know, just reaching out blindly to family members.
Dr. David Carter is a professor of criminology at Michigan State University and a former Kansas City police officer. He's recently published a study that examined how 7 American cities and counties successfully cleared their homicide caseload. Carter says police investigators in Richmond, Virginia took a proactive approach by essentially adopting the families with whom they worked.
They would spend a lot of time with them. They would talk with them. They'd keep them up to date on the investigation. And this historically isn't done by homicide investigators. It's done by frequently done by victim witness advocates, which are typically, although not exclusively, typically in the prosecutor's office. So we asked them, why did they do this? And there are two key reasons came out. One, it was the right thing to do. But the other thing was that they found as doing this was as they would talk to family members, they would often learn information that could help them in their investigation. And importantly, it wasn't because the family members were hiding information. They just didn't know it. I mean, they just didn't know this might help in an investigation. That never occurred to them. So for both of those reasons, and they found this too, and consequently, it also got greater support for the police by doing this, by keeping the family involved.
Rena Risper, the community activist, believes the Lansing Police Department could reduce its cold case backlog through more partnerships.
One person is not enough. There's, in my mind, all kinds of opportunities to collaborate with Michigan State University, to collaborate with the law schools, Michigan State University Law School, Thomas M. Cooley Law School. There's so many opportunities to collaborate. Why don't we just get some retired police officers to set up some type of system where they assist with unsolved cases here in Lansing? Because there are quite a few.
But until such time as Lansing allocates more resources, Detective Lee McAllister continues setting goals for his one-man department.
I want to continue to get charges against people that have committed these unsolved cases. I'd like to set a goal for myself to get, one a year. I think that's a realistic goal, and we strive to do that. We just completed one last year. We had a charge and a conviction of a case that had went almost 4 years before it was, closed. And we got that closure, we got the conviction, and we move on to the next one. And as we keep going on, hopefully we can build this unit into something more than it is now, more than just the one detective. Maybe we can build it into something more where we become a little bit more active and even more successful.
For now, though, Monica Blackwell is trying to continue on with her life. The frustration in her voice is obvious, especially this week, as she marks 4 years since she lost her oldest child.
As the years go by, I'm like, so they're probably not looking anymore. They're probably not even thinking about it. But I just feel like Lansing's too small to have 60-plus unsolved murders, and really no one is really addressing it. Yes, McAllister is assigned to it, but he's also still on regular duty. So it's not getting the attention it needs. Just not for my son, for all of them. We need more.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.